We share an affirmation of faith each time we gather together here at Daleville Christian Church, and this one from, always from God's Word, this one from Romans, the first chapter, the first verses. We claim the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David, according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. The reading of God's Word for today is from Matthew's Gospel, the 22nd chapter, verses 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. There are two great events in the history of the world that demonstrate God's love for you and me. The first event in the history of God's love for us was creation itself. The Lord God made a good world and put humanity in the midst of the garden. As you know, things didn't go well from there. So the second great event in the history of God's love for us was Jesus. We've spent two Sunday messages talking about God's love for you and for me and everyone. And we know it's God's love for everyone because, as we have noted from John's Gospel, God so loved the world that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Now here is the pastor's problem. Once the pastor has preached on God's love and God's love in Jesus Christ, too many people think, that's great. God loves us. We're all set. Well, not exactly. The Lord God is giving his love. The question is, have you received God's love demonstrated in Jesus? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. I'll give you an example. This week, I've been processing electronics here at Daleville Christian Church and at my house. Through the years, Daleville Christian Church, as has the McManus household, acquired a number of video playing devices. There is still one around here that is VHS recording only. There are a number of combination machines, VHS and DVD player, and there are at least two players that are DVD player only. Although the machines have endured and do, in actuality, work just fine, in many cases the remote controls have not remained with the machines. We have machines with no remote controls, and we have a couple of remote controls for which there is no machine. And you might have noticed, if you have an older player, or even one of the newer ones, the video playing devices, certainly any newer ones, do not have fast forward or fast reverse buttons or any control on the machine itself. You have to have a remote control. So this week, I ordered a universal remote control for the video playing machines. I ordered it from Amazon.com, and it was delivered to my house by UPS. The UPS man, as he normally does, put the item on the front porch slab, knocked on the door, or sometimes he rings the doorbell, and headed back to the truck. If I'm fast enough, I can open the door and thank him before he drives away, because he usually delivers late in the day and I'm there. So here, the new universal remote control sat on my doorstep. Great. It had been delivered to me. Please notice that while the new universal remote control sits on my doorstep, which is mine, and has been properly and promptly delivered, that remote control will do me no good until I take it inside, open the remote, put the batteries in, and begin to use it. God's love, my friends, was delivered to you in Jesus Christ. God's love will do you no good unless you receive it. Take it in and actually have a relationship with the Lord God. Relationships, even divine relationships, take at least two persons. A relationship with God is undertaken with the assumption that we will participate in that relationship. From what we can read in the Bible, many of Jesus' people wanted a relationship with the Heavenly Father. However, many of Jesus' people's religious leaders told the people they could not have a relationship with the Heavenly Father because they couldn't do the relationship correctly. There were all sorts of qualifications and maintenance points to do and to keep, and if you couldn't keep up the maintenance, well, sorry, then the Heavenly Father just couldn't bother with you. Jesus would call out many of the Pharisees for making it too hard for people to have a relationship with God. You can read Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 through 34. So Jesus told the Pharisees the greatest commandments were, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two. Jesus said, all the law and the prophets hang on these two. All, and I believe that Jesus means that all means all. This statement has led some scholars and theologians to say basically, love God and do what you like. To some people, that sounds flippant, maybe even disrespectful, maybe bordering on heresy, a just plain bad teaching. But I ask you, is the statement, love God and do what you like, really disrespectful? If you love God, if you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, if the Lord God really is the most important person in your life, won't your life and decisions revolve around what God wants? Then you can do whatever you want because you want to do what God wants. So maybe you can tell me how American Christians took a passionate, life-changing, life-altering, rock-your-world relationship with God and reduced that relationship to keeping rules. Rules which you and I know. Don't drink, don't smoke, unless you live in certain parts of the United States. Oh, also, don't murder or steal or cuss, and no one's exempt from those. And we wind up turning the rules into some sort of test of our relationship with God instead of living a life loving God and our neighbor. How did we get to this rule-keeping Christianity? Most Christians in this country are still perceived as rule-givers and rule-keepers, rule-makers, and scorekeepers. Some of us are even pleased with ourselves if we can keep those rules. Maybe this state of affairs began naturally enough when we were children. The emphasis in many households is obedience to parents and the parents' rules. But didn't a relationship based on house rules end when you became an adult? Didn't it? I guess only each of us can answer that question for ourselves. But if we grow beyond that kind of relationship with human parents, how much more so should we grow out of that sort of relationship with the living God? Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees again on another occasion, would say, "And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You've never heard the Father's voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent." Jesus went on to say to the leadership, John chapter 5, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life." You see, Jesus said, if you would relate to me, and not just to the Bible, you would have the life you seek. Jesus went on to say, "I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts." Ouch. And Jesus said, "How can you believe since you accept glory from one another but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God?" Jesus is saying you keep the rules you claim are important and then pat each other on the back. Maybe you should ask the Heavenly Father what the Father thinks. Ask what the Father wants. Jesus would also say to the leadership, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. You tithe. You even tithe the herb garden in addition to the field crops. Wow. But you've neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." Justice, mercy, faithfulness. Those are all words of relationship, aren't they? Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Jesus made clear that having Jesus right in front of you isn't enough. Jesus told the leadership, "You must relate to me in order to receive the eternal true life that you do seek." Unless we receive Jesus, unless we receive the gift that God has given, nothing truly good can happen. It will be like my remote left on the porch. I have it, it was delivered to me, but I still can't make the video machines work. I haven't taken the remote in and started to use it. I have no relationship with my remote. If I don't take the remote in off the porch, it will never do anyone any good. Friends, if we don't take the love of God in through a relationship with Jesus, it will never do anyone any good, including us. It isn't enough that God loves us and loved us in Jesus if we do not respond to that same love. The Lord has wanted to have a relationship with us so badly that the Lord sacrificed his own son in order for us to have that relationship. That's how badly the Lord wants this relationship for us. And let no one make the mistake of excluding themselves from that relationship. Look at the people Jesus would relate to. Fishermen, no formal education. Jesus even received a tax collector as a follower, a person the Pharisees just rejected right off. Jesus came restoring people's relationships to God the Father. Oftentimes, Jesus did that through healing or making people clean or forgiving them their sins. Sometimes Jesus said, "Your faithfulness has made you well." Those people wanted a relationship with God and believed that Jesus had come to make sure it happened. They sought a relationship with God through Jesus, and that's exactly what they got. They got life and blessing poured out, running over. Those who were healed also got themselves in front of Jesus, like the Pharisees did. But what a difference the results of their meetings. I'd mentioned before that I'm rather fond of the restaurant chain Outback Steakhouse for their advertising slogan. You remember it? "No rules, just right." Maybe it would sound more familiar to you if I used an Australian accent. No rules, just right. It sounds closer to Jesus' teaching. Jesus makes us right, so there are no rules. Because of Jesus, you have a relationship with God, whom you love with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. What's that old song? How can there be any sin in sincere when you are sincerely in love? How can there be any sin in sincere when you are sincerely in love with God? Our God loves you, no doubt. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. With that and the love of neighbor, with self, on those hangs all the law and the prophets. Receive the love of God. Amen.